Hey there, welcome back to Rust Belt Running. I am Andrew Hettinger, and joining me shortly with a coaching tip is going to be Adam Wheeler. This week, I got to sit down with our friend Marissa Ward again, and she brought partner Austin Miller with her this time. They went down in March to Myrtle Beach and took on the Myrtle Beach Marathon back on March 2nd. And they were kind enough to come on and talk about the race for a little bit, and I really enjoyed speaking with them. This year, it was 63 degrees for the race day temps, 58 at the start. Very humid, though. 100% humidity. They said it was raining. That might be why. So, those temperatures are about normal. The average is 49 degrees. The humidity is not usually that bad. It's usually pretty sunny for the Myrtle Beach Marathon over the last 15 years. So, it's a smaller race. There's only about, I think, like 3,000 people. You'll hear. I got the number during the interview. I just forget what it is offhand. But you'll hear that number. It's a smaller event. Really sounds like a good time. Definitely listen to them as they took a little weekend getaway to away from the kids to run a marathon. It's an interesting date weekend. So, but before that, let's go to Adam Wheeler. But before we go to Adam Wheeler, let me just remind you to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. And also, if there's any race that you've run recently you'd like to review, or there's a race you'd like us to get more information on, feel free to drop us a line on Instagram. Our DMs are always open. You can DM us at Rust Belt Running, or just me directly. I check that a little more frequently, at Andrew Runs A Lot, or Adam at Wheels Up and CLE. You can find us all there, or you can email us at rustbeltrunning@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, rustbeltrunning.com, where you can learn more about supporting the show. You can do that by buying merch, checking out our different offerings in run coaching, or fun new call. If you just want to throw us some dollars because you've been listening to us for years for free, I hope you had video on. You can check us out on Venmo at Rust Belt Running, and you can just tip us money if you'd like to. But yeah, that's it for now. I'm going to throw it to Adam Wheeler, and I'll be back in a few with Marissa and Austin Miller.
So one of my goals this year with my athletes, as well as in sharing my own training, is being more transparent, talking about not just the good and when things are going well, but also talk about struggles and when things are going bad. And this came up last week when I was talking to one of my athletes. She had posted about how she got out the door and got on a run, but had really struggled to do it that day. And I told her that, you know, during winter months especially, I often face the same struggles. And she said, you know, that makes me feel a lot better knowing that, you know, something, she said something along the lines of, like, you know, somebody of your caliber struggles with those same things too. And, you know, it made me realize that it's worth pointing out that as coaches, you know, Andrew, Matt, and myself, we never want to project the idea that we have everything figured out. And in fact, I think one of the strengths that we all have is that, you know, we often are struggling with the same things that we've seen our athletes struggle with. You know, what we do bring is perspective. We have a lot of training cycles under our belts between the three of us. And then when you add in, you know, the things we've seen our friends struggle with, and now that we have multiple years of coaching athletes under our belts, we've seen some of the things our own athletes struggle with. It's a lot of perspective. It's a lot of instances in which we can look at how, you know, we and our athletes and our friends have handled the ups and the downs of training. But, you know, it's an ongoing process. Running is a process. You know, the art of training for something that is meaningful is a process. And I think we would always try to convey the idea that, you know, you never arrive at a time where you've mastered handling the hard things. If anything, you know, you don't get to that point. You don't get to a point where, you know, none of this becomes hard anymore. If anything, you just become better at handling hard things. At just, you know, figuring out a way to keep, you know, working through when things become difficult. And so, you know, something that I would want to convey on behalf of Andrew and Matt as well is just this idea that, you know, as coaches, when we say we understand what you're going through, it's because we deal with it ourselves. We have experienced it ourselves. We continue to experience it ourselves. And we continue to work through the process of handling those ups and downs of training, dealing with, you know, the physical fatigue, the mental anguish that comes with, you know, being in a moment where you doubt yourself, where you're not where you want to be in a training cycle. we continually come across those things in our own training, and we've seen those things happen with our own athletes training. And you know, we never feel like we've arrived. We're continually, you know, going through the process of evaluating and reevaluating, you know, how we ourselves handle it, as well as how, you know, we help work with our athletes so that they can handle it as well. But yeah, you know, I like to tell my athletes that my coaching them is not about me telling them what to do. It's a dialogue. It's about me really having a conversation with them about what's working and what's not. And, you know, that conversation is very much informed by the things I struggle with myself. And I struggle quite a bit, you know, for as good as things often look, I struggle quite a bit. You know, I have runs that don't go well. I have weeks that don't go well. I struggle with the uncertainty that, you know, an injury or some like little nagging pain can create. So those things don't go away. You don't run a certain mile time and all of a sudden, like, boom, you're an accomplished runner and things are good. If you're pushing after something meaningful, if you're, you know, testing limits, you're always going to be dealing with that cycle of doubt and of stress and of uncertainty. And we really mean it when we say that, like, we understand, because we understand.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us again today, guys. A quick call to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms, and check out RustBeltRunning.com, where you can learn more about our offerings and run coaching and different ways to support the show. So Austin and Marissa is back. She's our first repeat guest on this format. And Austin is a repeat guest. You came on with us, what, maybe 2 years ago? To talk about your burning river leg fiasco.
That's a good name for it.
That's a really good episode to go listen to. While you guys are talking, I'm gonna go back and drag the episode number out so I can give that out. I should have come armed with that. But today we're discussing the Myrtle Beach Marathon. They also have a half marathon and 5K as well. And I'm just kind of curious, what made y'all want to go down to Myrtle Beach to, was it just the like Ohio winter angst that we all get and sends you to one of the Carolinas, or like what made you want to go down to Myrtle Beach and run?
So it was a little bit the Ohio winter blues. It goes back to, we had a flight credit to use from when he couldn't go to Boston last year, and it needed to be used by like the end of January, I think. And then I had some hotel points, and he mentioned at some point, let's do like a weekend race thing. And so I took that very seriously and started looking at different options of where we could go. And for just a long weekend, we needed to stay like Midwest, East Coast area. I was tracking flights for a while, and at one point I just booked a hotel before anything else was booked. So like, well, if we go, then at least it's done and I can cancel for free. And then all of the pieces just started falling in line, and I told him we were going, and we went.
how long was this a like race of yours? Is this something that y'all figured out like a month or two in advance, or was this like, did you have a full cycle going into it?
I started planning it in like November. when I had started planning it, I just kind of started upping my training, knowing that either I would run this or I would run Boston. So I think it was like 12 or 13 weeks out when I started focusing more on it. And then he trained for how many weeks?
Like
a month? Yeah. 6 weeks.
Wait, so you didn't really train for it. You were just like, I want to get in a position to send it and see what happens. That's what that was, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I run. I just, you know, it's like 2-3 days a week. And then when she decided we were signing up for this, I like kind of started running more. But I mean, it's not like I was starting completely from scratch. It was just upping up, right. You know, running, going from 3 days a week to five.
A couple little nudges like, hey, this is in 8 weeks. This is in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
All right. So y'all took a flight down from Northwest Ohio to Myrtle Beach. Where did y'all stay at down there?
We stayed in North Myrtle at one of the Wyndhams, and then it was like a 20-25 minute drive to where the race started.
Where was the race at in Myrtle Beach? I'm trying to like understand, like, in I've been so long since I've been to Myrtle Beach, but like, how was the course kind of laid out? Before we get too far into it, I'm just curious. You're talking about a 20 minute drive. Like, what's a race there feel like?
So it started at Broadway at the beach, and then it was basically just like a rectangle, like, course.
Okay. So you guys stayed at the Wyndham. Were there any places y'all ate that you were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing? And do y'all like vacation down there, or was this just totally random?
Yeah, that was actually what sold me on it when she started talking about it. Was just like, that was the first place the four of us all went on vacation together. So it was like, all right, you know, we got memories here. It'll be nice to, you know, do that. But I've been going there since I was a kid. My parents and grandparents always used to take me there. So just like a little bit of like nostalgia attached to it, you know, just knowing the area and like, you know, seeing landmarks along the way that, you know, brought back in memories.
Right.
As far as restaurants go, we had our first date night in a couple years when we went there. And what was it called? It was
42nd Street.
Yeah, that sounds right. 42nd Street Grill or something. It was super fancy, a little too fancy for us, but food was good. It was perfect. It was a nice time.
Yeah. And that waffle place we went to, that was really good. I don't remember what that one was. But there's signs like everywhere that advertise it. They had all kinds of different waffles.
Like a Myrtle Beach, like, famous waffle place.
Yeah.
Is that what it... Mm-hmm. Okay. There you got your carb loading right there.
Yeah. We got to the airport and we were hungry, so that's where we ended up stopping first. It was perfect.
And y'all were there, you said 3 days?
Yeah. We got there Friday and came home Monday.
What was the expo like for a race like the Myrtle Beach?
They're really, I mean, you know, compared to like most races, I wouldn't say it was an expo. We went to like this bar and grill, like, 2-story restaurant in the top level. They had like a space rented out for like the running stuff, and they just pick up your shirt and your bib. I mean, there was like no typical expo.
So it was packet pickup.
Yeah.
It wasn't an expo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not gonna lie, I kind of prefer that. When I did Erie last year, I mean, that's exactly what Erie is, and it's incredible. There's no stress. There's no, like, sensory overload. You're just there. Give me my stuff so I can run the race the next day. What type of swag did y'all get for a race that's, like, kind of that bare bones, like, where it was the, like, T-shirt good? Was there anything else that y'all got with the race entry?
Surprisingly, you get 2 shirts.
Actually, this one's right here.
You get a long sleeve, like, one that, you know, you get when you sign up. And nice. When you cross the finish line, you get, a tank top. And the tank top is super soft. And, yeah, it was actually pretty cool. When she told me we got 2 shirts, I was like, dang, that's cool. I've never heard of such a race.
The tank top is really nice. Well, I like that a lot. And that's, like, it's men's and women's cut, so that's nice. But the actual participant shirt is unisex, and it runs really big, so that's kind of a bummer. But
so size down a little bit. Well, it sucks because you hope they get the same shirts next year.
Right.
Yeah. It's those shirt companies, you never know.
Hard saying.
Right.
But they did have an exchange afterwards. You just need to make sure that you get the right size when you exchange.
Yeah, like I thought with Chicago, I thought their shirts ran small.
Those shirts, I hated the shirts from last year. I mean, I wear it because it's my only major, but I hate those shirts that they had. Like, that has that seam right here. I don't know what the hell that seam is.
Yeah.
It's just in the middle of that Chicago shirt. It's so bizarre. What was the weather like? Like, I'm curious about this tank top thing, because I love that they you're at Myrtle Beach and they just, like, you finish and they're basically handing you a shirt that's like, here, go to the beach. Were you able to go to the beach, or was it too cold for that?
It was kind of hit or miss while we were there. When we got there, it was a really rainy day and it, like, stormed all night on Friday. Saturday was decent. Sunday was pretty nice. And then when we left on Monday, it was, like, getting really warm. I think the day we left, it was going to be in the 70s. But, I mean, we went out to the beach. We laid there. He took a nap on the beach. It was nice.
The water was freezing. It was not, you know, it was not ready for swimming. I mean, we got in for a minute, but it was not, it was cold. But, you know, when you're coming from, especially, you know, like us, you know, living here, when you go from like the 30 degrees to 65, I mean, it's nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. All right. So take me to the start. Like, I'm looking up the participant information. I didn't come super prepared like I would have liked to, but like, how crowded was this race at the start line, and were there any corrals? Were there any issues with the corrals?
So I think this was the first year that they did corrals, but it was just a 10 minute and under pace corral and a over 10 minute corral. So I don't know how much of a corral that really is.
Right.
So where they have you park, it was a long walk to the start. They advertised it as like a 15 to 20 minute walk, and like we kind of looked at that. I was like, I don't know that it would be that long, but it was probably
yeah, that's probably like the only downfall. And you know what? It probably wouldn't have been bad if it wasn't for the weather, but the morning of the race, it was raining. So walking for 20 minutes in rain. It was not fun. So but, had it been a nice day, I don't think the 20 minutes would have bothered me. You know, you get your snacks in, you know, get your legs ready.
Right.
The rain was stopping and letting up as it was getting closer to the start, so that was a plus. But the porta potties were in grass, and after having been raining all night and pouring that morning, that was kind of a disaster.
Yeah, you saw a lot of people going just like on trees, like away from the crowd, because you couldn't really get to about, I'd say, half of the porta potties because they were underwater.
Jeez. But it did kind of work out for us because nobody wanted to go to those, so we were able to just sneak right up and not go through the lines really.
My white shoes didn't appreciate it.
Yeah. But it kind of saved us because I think we got into like the corrals like 3 minutes before the race started.
That's perfect timing, if you ask me.
I kind of liked it.
There are about 4,000 people that take on the Myrtle Beach marathon and half. I didn't get the 5K numbers, but so that's that would explain maybe why there's only, hey, are you this two corrals?
Yeah, basically. It's pretty small.
I love the simplicity of that. Was there any congestion at the as you took off? Was there any congestion at the start that you noticed, or was it just like free and clear?
How was it for you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty clear. I didn't have any issues. The only thing I would say is I didn't like within like I would say it was like a the first half mile there was a turn, so you know there, you know right at the beginning it's still a bit more crowded than usual, and then when you try to get everybody trying to turn, it's just
that very first turn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was really soon. So the start was interesting too because it's like a divided road. They've got the middle thing, but they start it on both sides, and then you go straight, and it's like a left turn right away. So that was a little weird to me, but other than that, it was okay.
Yeah, especially if you have to like cut across like the median, if that's what it is, like that would suck.
Yeah, like I feel like the median kind of went pretty much up right until the turn, and we were on the right side of it, so I don't know, it just stuck out to me.
Yeah. Pittsburgh has that pretty early in the race too, and it's really annoying. And if it were to be too crowded and you didn't see it, that could be a disaster for somebody.
Yeah,
for sure. Did y'all use any gear check at all? I mean, it was a 20 minute walk.
Don't offer it.
Fair.
Because of, they say how close the parking is to the finish area, which You said it was kind of far, so wasn't it?
It was a little bit of a walk, but it's definitely closer.
Yeah. Oh, so the start and finish aren't the same.
They're pretty close, but you finish right outside of, what team is that?
I can't remember the name of the team, but it's a like a high class A Chicago Cubs team. You like finish like in their parking lot, and then the like little after parties like in their stadium.
Oh, nice. I'm gonna ask. I'll be asking about that later. And for a baseball file like you, that was probably pretty exciting.
Yeah, they got like some replica like Wrigley Field signs and stuff like in the outfield. It was pretty neat. The field's nice. I mean, yeah, it's like a. I think I looked it up and it's like a high. They say high class A team. I can't Myrtle Beach something or other. Don't remember. What
All right, called. So being a smaller race, how were the water stops? Were there plenty of water stops, and how was the organization, Adam?
There were a lot. I think they were like every 2 miles or less than 2 miles, but they were small. Like, it seemed like it was only a table or two, mm-hmm. which didn't really bother me. My complaint is the early water stops. I thought the water tasted soapy. But I talked to someone else on the course, and he agreed that it tasted soapy. So I don't think I was just insane.
I wonder what would cause that. That's...
Yeah, I don't really know, but it was different.
I mean, disposable cups, saying there had to be like a detergent or something, because they have to run, because they usually fill water from fire hydrants for races. So I wonder if like they had to flush it with something and there was like a detergent or something. Maybe they didn't clean out all the way or something.
Maybe. That's I have no gross, idea.
And I'm sure an absolute accident and not something that you'd run into if you went and did this race again.
Probably not.
Were there any issues with course markings at all? Sometimes smaller races I know can, since there aren't maybe as many people, you can run into issues like maybe not knowing where you are on the course. Were there any issues with course markings at all?
No, I didn't think there was any problem.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You go straight for most of the race, and then they take you out on the boardwalk, and they turn you around, and you go.
Yeah, there's really not a lot of turning.
Nice. Is it on like road primarily, or do they have like a lot of beaches have pathways and stuff? You know, those towns do. What surface is it primarily on?
It was mostly, I mean, pretty much entirely road, and then they did take you out on the boardwalk. I don't remember how long you were out there, but
yeah, maybe a mile, 2 miles max.
Yeah.
And obviously a very flat course, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, I think it was almost too flat. Like there was just
too flat.
No elevation change at all.
Yeah. Yeah. That can really destroy your body
too. It's tough because like, I mean, I hate hills, but I like being able to like move different muscles and work a little differently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get a little, I mean, I think uphills give you as much recovery as downs do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would chew me up for sure. How was the crowd support at Myrtle Beach?
Yeah, there's not a lot of it. There's not a ton. No. You know, it's really quiet. Which for me, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't need the crowds because, yeah, I always listen to music. But, you know, like towards the finish line, there was a decent crowd. And then, I mean, the water stations, I thought they were pretty bumping. Like,
they were, yeah.
There's a lot of kids working those things, and they were really into it. They were super excited, and they were, you know, they were loving their jobs and helping out with the race. So I would give an A+ to, like, the volunteers and the aid stations for that. But nice. As far as, like, crowds go, there wasn't a lot.
There weren't like any cheer stations or anything. There would be like random people out. You ran past a lot of hotels, so I think some people were like yelling from like their balconies and stuff. At least I've noticed that. And then there were a couple of like music spots, like people playing music. So that was neat.
I love the water stops when they're filled with kids, like, or were they like high school age kids? Is that when you say kids? I'm assuming that's what you meant.
Even or younger, just... some of them. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, really? Like middle school kids, but yeah.
I like that because I think it's so fun when they like compete against each other. Like, oh, whose water are they gonna take?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Erie did something awesome. I don't know if they do it every year, but I know they did it last year, where they had like different various high school cross country teams had each water stop, and you actually like voted for your favorite water stop at the end of the race.
That's cool.
And they got like an amount of money or something for their cross country program. But it was awesome because, just like you said, everyone was just a party.
Yeah.
Like, and it's the same type of thing where like there's not a whole lot of course support because it's Erie in the middle of a park that is not close to anything. But you come up on these water stops where everybody is just going bonkers. And even though maybe it's not the same way they got there, it sounds like it's kind of the same thing that you experienced in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, the water stops are nice.
So you said that there was some crowd support at the finish. What was the finish kind of like as you kind of approached it on this course? It's no right on Hereford, left on Boylston, that's for sure.
No. So it was kind of suspenseful because, like, you kind of run around Broadway at the beach and so, like, you start seeing familiar sights. I ran right past where we had parked. And then there were a couple of turns right there at the end. And it was exciting. There was music. There was definitely more energy again. So I think it gave me that last little push I needed to finish. I was coming in as a lot of half marathoners were finishing. So the only frustrating part was just weaving around the way to get in. But yeah, I liked it. It was exciting.
I was going to try to pull up as you said that, and shoot, I think your story expired. Dang it. I was going to pull up. You had an amazing post yesterday. You're wearing your Fargo shirt now. About
I am.
Times. And I was thinking about, like, as you were talking about coming up on the half marathoners, I was thinking about just the ridiculous times that you ran while you were pregnant.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, you have some very impressive times on there without a human being inside of you, but those ones where you're like halfway to a full pregnancy are ridiculous.
Thank you.
And I wanted to put that out into the podcast world. Because can you run down your pregnancy times? Do you have them like in your head?
So my very first marathon, I was 21 weeks pregnant and I ran a 3:30, which at the time was a BQ. So that got me into my Boston streak that's still going. And then I was addicted and I signed up for Cleveland and I was 24 weeks pregnant and ran a 3:35. And then with Sammy, we ran Boston together when I was 20 weeks pregnant and he was mad at me the whole time towards the end. We ran a 3:43. And then in Fargo at 25 weeks, I ran a 3:32.
So ridiculous. And then there was another one in there where you did Boston and then you did Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, so I ran Boston in the monsoon year in 2018.
Okay.
I did that in 3:10. Yeah. And that was a 10-minute PR. And then when I ran Pittsburgh like 4 or 5 weeks later, I ran a 3:03.
I think it's 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close, but...
Yeah, and that you PR'd both of them. Like, I was looking at it with Adam earlier, because we were recording another episode, and I was telling him that I was going to be on with you guys, and I was like, did you see this post Marissa had yesterday? And he was like, yeah, I did, and I pulled it up, we started going through the times, and that's when I noticed those two. I was like, Jesus, that's insane. Like, I noticed the pregnancy thing, but then I noticed the, like, the PRs that you had within, like, 4 weeks of one another.
It was, and, like, goodness, very surprising, but it was a good couple weeks there.
And on hard courses. Like, you didn't the hills, do that at Erie and then Myrtle Beach. Like, Pittsburgh especially is insane.
Yeah.
Sorry, we kind of had to detour there, but it was just on the front of my the front of my mind. All right, so you guys finish the race. Austin, I gave her this fun little prop up here, but I'm gonna let you. How was the medal for the race?
The medals are sweet. I was actually really impressed with them.
Yeah.
The colors, like, they're bright and flashy and fun. You know, like, they're like beach medals. You know, like. The oranges and the blues and greens. They got seashells on them.
Nice.
And they're big. They're heavy.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool. I like, you know, I think it's fun when, you know, races, like, put out fun medals like that.
Well, and especially a distinct one like that, that is going to be a destination race for most people. Like, to have one that's really going to stand out on somebody's wall. That's cool. Yeah, those colors, those will definitely stand out. If you're listening, it's like, they're like Dolphins colors, but split up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Dolphins,
yeah, very beachy. I like those for sure. Was there any, like, sanctioned parties or anything after the race? Was there any, like, community aspect to this event afterwards that you guys were able to partake in?
Yeah, I mean, they had a DJ playing some music, and they had, like, some booths and stuff. They had pizza, which was nice. They had a beer tent. And then, you know, like I said, this was all, like, inside and around the baseball stadium. So, like, you could go sit, like, you go sit in the seats and just, you know, hang out and look at the baseball field. And, you know, there's a lot of people who are just, you know, hanging out, having conversations and snacking and smashing pizza and beers.
That sounds like a beach weekend to me. Yeah. I mean, pizza outside and beer, and that's all I need when I'm near the ocean at all.
Yeah, by the time the race was over, it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It was a little little chilly, like a little windy, but I mean, it was perfect.
Was there anything else about this race that, like, stood out?
I think for me, honestly, you know, we live a really busy, crazy life with two kids and work and, you know, everything like everyone else does. But I really like the quietness of the weekend. You know, Myrtle Beach, the first week of April or March, it's still kind of like the retirement community, like in our condo, like, we were probably the youngest people there. They probably looked at us like, you're a week early, 2 weeks early. Like,
most places we went to eat, we were the youngest people there.
But honestly, you know, when we're so busy and there's, you know, like, never time to catch your breath, it was nice. Like, it was quiet. You know, there wasn't, you know, a lot of foot traffic during the race. There wasn't, you know, busy this, busy that. It was just, it was perfect.
I took a nap. That never happens.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. How many? Just one?
Just one, yeah. But a day. We also went to bed pretty early every night.
Yeah, 9 to 9.30, I think, was about what time we went to bed.
There were some nights that I didn't even see 9, but it was nice.
Everybody thought you were too old, and you were like, wait till you see what time I go to... Or too young, you're like, wait till you see what time I go to bed.
Yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
We're eating dinner at 5 o'clock like the rest of you guys.
It was 5:30.
That's awesome. Like, especially because y'all do plenty of majors, you know? So to be able to go and travel and do something, you know, sans kids and do something quiet like this. Yeah, that's awesome. Like, every race tells a story and, you know, has a purpose. And this one, you know, served that for y'all. Like, yeah, get out of Ohio during our, when it was probably about the same weather here with the winter we've had, but, like, yeah, get closer to the south and, yeah, enjoy some quiet and some miles.
It was a nice little getaway.
But was that kind of, you know, when I asked what stood out, was that kind of it for you too? Kind of just the quiet and the nap?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say that was a good part about it.
Well, you guys are about to embark on a less quiet race here in a few weeks. As you will, are you both running Boston this year?
Just I am.
Oh gosh, no! My Boston running days are over.
He's just a Chicago boy.
I like my turtle paces. Okay. I like my turtle paces now, and 4 days a week, and I'm good for now.
That, dude. I feel that. I'll get back to trying to get to Boston one day. But yeah, for right now, no, I'm good. And I said this off air, but if you don't know Austin, he is a huge Guardians fan. He apparently currently he's kind of upset with them. But is it the bad off season? What are you upset about here?
Just the ownership and wanting to sell everyone instead of buying a few players here and there. It's just, I don't even know, maybe a quarter of the roster anymore. Mm-hmm. Which is weird for me because I can typically name like every dude on the team, but they just keep funneling out the ones that we all love with guys who are just kids, which is cool, you know, but
yeah.
I want to win.
Yeah. I feel that, dude. But you get to see him in Boston. So that'll be, you know, to see him at Fenway, that'll be freaking sweet. Even if your kids are wearing City Edition or whatever it is, Boston jerseys.
Yeah, I'm stoked to see them at Fenway. It was supposed to happen in 2020 when I qualified for Boston, but then mm-hmm. COVID hit. But they were playing the Guardians that week, and I was like, yes, this is gonna be great. And then baseball season and everything else,
right?
So
well, we're only a few weeks out, so I mean, I know this world's crazy, but we should be in the clear. No pandemic this time. Well, I thank you guys so much for coming on and you know, doing this again with me, Marissa. I really appreciate it. And I wish Marissa best of everything in Boston. And I don't know who are the kids are going with you. I don't know who needs more thoughts, you or Austin trucking the kids around for a few hours. So yeah, thanks guys so much for joining me, and Marissa, again, just good luck. And Austin, well, we'll see how after I tidy this up how neat this ending is. But thanks again, guys. I appreciate it. And listeners,
thank you.
Just one more call to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms, and check out rustbeltrunning.com. Where can you guys be found on Instagram so that people can follow your journeys?
I'm Ohio Runner Austin, I think, right?
You think?
I think you are.
I've been kind of away from a lot of that stuff these days, just kind of
same
working on me, so.
Yep.
And then mine is Marissa W.
All right. Yeah, go follow them. And follow Marissa because she's going to post random stats about her races, and you're going to be amazed when you see she was pregnant during some of them. But all right, cool. Thanks, guys, so much. And to everybody listening, enjoy your running journeys and enjoy those miles, everybody.